बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग कपिलदेव टीचिंग्स टू मदर देवहूति. सो ही इज जस्ट गोइंग टू रैप अप हिज प्रेजेंटेशन ऑन द पाथ ऑफ ज्ञान योग which he has elaborately described. And of course, after hearing the preliminary presentation, Mother Devahuti expressed her doubts. Is it really possible? Doesn't seem like. And Kapiladev clarifies by describing, oh, if these are the details of this process, if done properly, following all the details, then one can be assured that one will get liberation. And then he also mentioned that this is an irreversible transformation. Never does the material nature again trouble such a person, because six reasons Kapiladev gives. He says that drishta dosha, he has seen the nature and faults of prakriti, ishvarasya, by discriminating knowledge, and svemahimni sthitasya cha, he has put himself on the right path for reformation. Then he has actually woken up from the slumber of ignorance. So what you mentioned as coming back is a problem for a person who is still sleeping. For him, dreams, if one dream may stop temporarily, then the next dream will start. Okay. So then he says that, and this person has fixed his mind on me. And he knows about the, or he has realized the elements, you know, and their nature, in contrast with the soul. And the last reason he gives is, he is Atma Rama. He has developed a higher taste. So therefore, the lower taste offered by Prakriti is no longer attractive to him. So for these reasons, Kapiladev says that definitely this person will achieve liberation, and there is no doubt about it. So this is where he ended. So now, finally, how he achieves that liberation, he explains it in the last four verses, of which the three verses are connected. We'll chant them together. Yadeva madhyatma rataha kalena bahujanmana sarvatra jata vairagya abrahma bhuvanan munihi madbhakta pratibuddharto matprasadena bhuyasa निःश्रेयसं स्वसंस्थानं कैवल्याख्यं मदाश्रयं प्राप्नोति अञ्जसाधीर स्वदृशा छिन्न संशयः यद्गत्वा न निवर्तेत योगी लिंगाद् विनिर्गमे. सो हियर ही सेज यदा मुनिः, वेन दैट सेज हियर रेफर्स टू द प्रैक्टिशनर, कालेन बहुजन्मना. It's not that immediately he gets liberation also. He has to practice it for many lives. And of course, you know, wherever he left off, he gets an opportunity to continue from where he left off in his next life. That's what Krishna says. Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Brishto Vijayate. Kalena Bahujanmana Adhyatma Ratah. He has to maintain that rati for atma, self-realization, for many lifetimes. Sarvatra jata vairagya. With complete detachment from everything. Abrahma bhuvanan, including the Brahma loka. Mad bhaktaha. And at no point of his practice can he give up worshipping me. He has to continue to remain my devotee. Pratibuddha artho. Understanding the ultimate truth. Finally, mat prasadena bhuyasa, by my bountiful mercy, anjasa prapnoti, he easily attains nishreyasam. Nishreyasam means the highest benefit. According to his opinion, what is the highest benefit? Swasamsthanam. Swasamsthanam here refers to his swarupa. What is that? Kaivalyakyam, called Brahman. Madashrayam, that Brahman which is under my shelter. Brahmanohi pratishta aham, Krishna says. So finally, after practicing this path for many, many lifetimes, he finally achieves the Brahman. He merges into Brahman. Yadgatva, having attained that position, Swadrisha Chinna Samshaya, having cut all doubts by his knowledge of Atma, Lingad Vinirgame, after giving up his subtle body, Dhiraha Yogi, that steady yogi, Na Nivarteta, does not return. Okay. So, this position of Brahman, we were discussing offline, just after the morning session, that this position of Brahman is not like Swarga, where as soon as the Punya gets over, he will be forcefully kicked off the planet. Shine Punya Marthi Lokam Vishanti. But Brahman is not like that. So, wherever Brahman is described, whether in second canto or third canto or other places, it's always mentioned that Yadgatva na nivarteta. Having gone there, one does not come back. It's a permanent place. But the person who goes there may choose to return. That's up to him. But he will not be forcefully pushed out of Brahman. So, but provided he has to stay mad bhakta, he must continue to stay as a devotee. But if he develops anadrita yushmadangra, if he develops disrespect to the Supreme Lord, then even though he may have reached Brahman, he will be pulled off. But generally those who reach there, they do not develop disrespect to the Supreme Lord. Because they are quite elevated personalities. Kapiladev just mentioned what it takes to go there. You know, they have to practice a lot of devotional limbs also. So such a person does not become inimical to the Supreme Lord after going there. But the point is, it's a permanent place. But the only problem is that there is no opportunity to hear Krishna Katha, which he was used to, discuss Krishna Katha, chant the holy names. So all those opportunities are not there for engaging the senses. So at some point, for want of engagement, he may choose to come back. But otherwise, it is an eternal offer. Okay. So he need not come back from Brahmajyoti. And not everyone who goes to Brahmajyoti also comes back. Not that everyone feels dissatisfied. It's not like that. Most of them don't feel dissatisfied. They are quite satisfied there in Brahmajyoti also. Just like one might wonder, hey, how can someone be satisfied in Shantaras? They are satisfied. So we have a problem. They are satisfied. The problem is, we have a problem because we don't know what is Shantaras also, Dasyaras also. We have not experienced anything. But we keep debating, how is it possible that someone be satisfied in Shantaras? Won't he want to progress further to the higher rasas? You know, those kind of questions. They themselves don't feel like that at all when they have having reached there. So, here also, this time when His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj had come to GV, he was giving a series of seminars. And we asked him actually, those who go to Brahman, do all of them feel dissatisfied? Maharaj said, no, they are quite satisfied. They are quite satisfied and they stay there eternally. Some of them may choose to come back. It's not all. And it's not that one has to fall down from Brahman also. But just that when there is an opportunity to experience so much more bliss in relationship with Krishna, why not activate it? That's Prabhupada's plea in his purports. But having said that, it's not that everyone is frustrated in Brahman and they are just looking for an opportunity to come back again. It's not the case. So here it is mentioned that yad gatva na nivarteta. Having gone there, people don't return. Lingad vinirgame. Having destroyed a subtle body, the steady yogi goes there and doesn't come back. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, anyone engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as a devotee. 27th verse, purport, Prabhupada writes. But there is a distinction between pure devotees and mixed devotees. So Prabhupada now is talking about the difference. Even though till now he has translated and commented as if it's for pure devotees, but now he is clarifying, there is a distinction between pure devotees and mixed devotees. A mixed devotee engages in devotional service for the spiritual benefit of being eternally engaged in the transcendental abode of the Lord in full bliss and knowledge. In material existence, when a devotee is not completely purified, he expects material benefit from the Lord in the form of relief from material miseries, or he wants material gain, advancement in knowledge of the relationship between the Supreme Lord and the living entity, or knowledge as to the real nature of the Supreme Lord. When a person is transcendental to these conditions, he is called a pure devotee. So wanting to go to the spiritual world is also not a pure desire. In Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami talks about three categories of people who go to the spiritual world. Spiritual world, not Brahma Jyoti. First, he talks about the people who desire Sukha and Aishwarya. Sukha Aishwaryottara Mukti, he says. Which means, they are worshippers of the Supreme Lord. They practice bhakti only, but they want to practice bhakti in Vaikuntha because they want to experience that ambience of Vaikuntha. So how nice would it be serving the Lord in Vaikuntha? Serving the Lord is secondary, but in Vaikuntha is primary. So that is Sukha Aishwaryottara Mukti. So they go there because Krishna says, Yanti Deva Vata Devan Pitran Yanti Pitra Vrata. Yanti Madhyajinopi Maman. Who worships me comes to my abode. It's not a conditional offer. You worship me, you come there. He doesn't say with pure devotional service, he doesn't say. And these practitioners are not pure. They are mixed devotees and they want, predominantly their desire is, we'll serve Krishna. That's, we want to do that, but in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha is prominent. So that's why it is called Sukha Aishwarya Uttara. Means the prominent desire is to enjoy the Sukha and Aishwarya of Vaikuntha. They go there, but in Vaikuntha they experience Sukha and Aishwarya only. They don't experience Prema. And the second category of people are the Prema Sevottara category, where their predominant desire is to serve the Supreme Lord. Ultimately, they want service only, but in Vaikuntha. So the predominant desire is service, but they want that service to be in Vaikuntha, which means they have little bit of desire for enjoying the Sukha and Aishwarya also in Vaikuntha. So they also go to Vaikuntha and don't experience the highest bliss of Prema. They experience something less than that. And then the third category of people are the pure devotees who are Swarga Apavarga Narakeshu Api Tulyartha Darshina. They don't care whether they go to Vaikuntha or hell. As long as service is there, they are willing to go there. Those kind of devotees also, Krishna does not keep them in hell, because they think that hell, because they consider hell and Vaikuntha to be equal as long as service is available. They may think like that, but Krishna doesn't want to put them in such a situation. He takes them also to Vaikuntha, and they stay in Vaikuntha and experience prema. So Prabhupada, commenting on this in his NOD, mentions, so therefore, even in the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, different people are under different levels of spiritual advancement. Like that. But of course, this is not the case in Goloka Vrindavan. In Vaikuntha, this is possible. In Goloka Vrindavan, only those with pure devotion, they can go. But in Vaikuntha, it's possible that people who are not yet completely purified, they may go, but they are bereft of the highest bliss of Vaikuntha. The highest bliss that Vaikuntha can offer, that they will not experience. But they will, being in Vaikuntha, they will experience something much inferior to what Vaikuntha can really offer.
The Sukha-Aishwarya, they have desire to be in Sukha and Aishwarya. They want to experience the pleasure. But this is a material desire completely, because that is prominent.
Yeah. Matlab, they don't want to experience the Sukha and Aishwarya of this material world. They wish to experience the bliss of Vaikuntha. Like Prabhupada writes, Natat Basayate Suryo Nashashanko Na Pavakaha Yat Gatvana Nivartante Tad Dama Paramamama. In the purport, Prabhupada writes, whoever reads this must get inspired to go to that abode. You know, the purpose of such verses is to create the inspiration that such a wonderful place, I should be going there. Okay, it's to create that inspiration to go there. So it's not out and out, it's not pure desire to serve Krishna, but at the same time, they are not desiring to enjoy the material world. They want to go to experience the spiritual opulence, which is not the highest desire.
Why am I asking this is, till the time one doesn't give up one's own enjoying mentality, he will not be elevated to Vaikuntha or spiritual
world. He will not be elevated to experience the highest thing that the spiritual world can offer.
Goloka Vrindavan, you say?
No, even in Vaikuntha, one may go to Vaikuntha, like for example, I give this example, someone may be staying in a president's mansion. The president is staying, his wife is staying, his children are staying, they all sit in the royal table and, honor royal prasadam, okay, if they are devotees. There is a cleaner also, many people who serve, servants. They also stay within the president's mansion, but they don't get to sit in the royal table, relish the royal prasadam. They have to stay in their servants' quarters, cook their own food, and they have to eat. So therefore, just because they are staying in president's mansion does not mean that they experience the same facilities as the president and his relatives. So therefore, being in Vaikuntha does not mean that everyone experiences the same. To the extent one has sacrificed one's selfishness, to that extent they experience the bliss of prema. Yeah, Salokya Sarshti, Samipya, yeah, all of that. But of course, of the four kinds of personal liberation also, Samipya is said to be superior, because one might stay in the same planet, but one need not meet the Supreme Lord also. Like we all stay in India. How many of us have personally seen Prime Minister Narendra Modi? Not many. We may never end up seeing also in his lifetime or our lifetime. So therefore, Salokya, and one may have the same opulence. The Lord may give his same opulence. He may give the same form, 400 form, but that does not mean that he will give samipya easily, his access to himself. So therefore, as Prabhupada writes, you know, even in Vaikuntha there are people with different levels of spiritual advancement. It's not that everyone experiences the same bliss. Yeah, that is possible. You're okay, bro?
It's a new thing I'm hearing. That's why I had a question.
It's there in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu.
And also in that purport, acquiring knowledge about absolute truth, that is also coming in this category.
Which one?
Saying, acquiring knowledge about Supreme Lord, that also comes in mixed devotion.
Yeah, mixed devotion means it's mixed with devotion, right? So devotion is very much there in such practices. So they understand the... They may not realize the personal form of the Lord, but they very much, just like in our case also, we have not realized the personal form, because realization happens in a much later stage of our progress in devotional service. The same way, for them also, they don't start with Brahman realization. Brahman realization also they achieve later only. But at the same time, they do not reject the personal form of the Lord. They have knowledge of the personal form of the Lord. They hear his pastimes. They know that he stays in Vaikuntha. He performs all these pastimes. But ultimately, they have a desire to merge in the impersonal Brahman. So they have knowledge, but that might not have culminated into realization.
And there are women.
No. If you read Bhakti Rasam Sindhu, it's described that the demons killed by Krishna, like for example Paundrak Vasudev, mostly they get Sayujya Mukti, but some demons, they are not just inimical, but they have some additional desires also. Like Paundrak Vasudev wanted to actually look exactly like Krishna, and he went to you know, the extent of attaching two additional hands also. So Krishna was sympathetic towards this cause, so he said, okay, I will not disappoint you. So he killed him, took him to Vaikuntha, gave him actual four-handed form, okay? And then, but Rupa Goswami explains, but that is not Sarupya Mukti. He says in Vaikuntha it is called Sarupya Abhas, which means he has the four-handed form, but he doesn't experience the bliss of prema, but it is mentioned that he experiences the bliss of Sayujya Mukti, bliss of liberation. That much only he gets. But that he gets in Vaikuntha. That's the only difference. So the experience of bliss is a much lower level of bliss. Okay. So that's what it's there within the first 19 chapters of NOD. So I'm not creating anything.
Proji, in this world also, we see that like there are different kinds of devotees and their realizations are different. So everybody, they think that they also will advance in their realization. So even in a Vaikuntha also, if they are associating with so many other devotees who are having higher bliss, yeah. So they will also have desire to advance in more in bliss.
Yeah, yeah.
So that process will also be there, no?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, it's there. They can progress from there.
And second thing, what is the meaning of experiencing prema? Means in the Vaikuntha, is it like five kind of rasas?
Yeah, not all rasas are active in Vaikuntha. Like Madhurya is experienced by only Mother Lakshmi, and Dasyaras is very much there. Sakyaras, not there. So Dasyaras, one can experience Shantaras, those experiences are possible in Vaikuntha.
Prema means what? Prema here here prema means what? Like are they simply kept there?
See, prema that's means what? So those who have activated that rasa, they have some personal service to Krishna. Like for example, we have a relationship with our spiritual master, but it's not that we are constantly performing, rendering some personal service to the spiritual master. But that does not mean we are bereft of any relationship. So dasya need not mean rendering only personal service. It could mean unlimited number of service. Jay and Vijay are doorkeepers. You know, for how many times that Lord Vishnu leave Vaikuntha and come inside? So what, you know, so it's not that they may constantly have some personal massaging their feet and things like that. There's unlimited number of services which they can perform without having a you know, being in the presence of the Lord also. So it's possible. Service and separation. It's higher.
In Rishabhdev's teachings, he mentioned unless one has developed prema, he cannot go to Vaikuntha. One has reached prema in his teachings, Rishabhdev. So
that's what it has to be understood in this way. Which means, if I say that unless one scores very high marks in the JEE, one cannot join IIT. What if I want to eat in IIT canteen? I don't need, so to say that, oh, I went to IIT. Yeah, you never studied. Yeah, I went to IIT canteen to have some masala dosa. I mean, that's okay, that's possible. But the point is, the purpose of Vaikuntha means to experience a personal relationship with the Supreme Lord. That is not possible. But otherwise, one can be in Vaikuntha and experience something much inferior. But that's, I mean, that's not the real thing that, like for example, in this case, that's not the real thing that IIT has to offer. So even though you were in the campus and you may like the canteen and you may every day visit also. But that's not the best thing that IIT has to offer. So therefore, it should be understood in this way. Cannot go to Vaikuntha means, it means cannot experience the highest bliss of Vaikuntha. Highest thing that Vaikuntha has to offer. That's my understanding.
But really that was Nirman Mohan Jisanga Dosha Dhyatnita Vinivrat Kama. But that will still apply the qualification to go to Vaikuntha. Because that's like a minimum qualification for a person to surrender, then only one can go to that. What Krishna clearly mentioned in the 15th chapter.
Yeah.
So this will be the minimum requirement.
So these people also, it's not that they are bereft of spiritual knowledge. Okay. So this Nirmana Moha Jita Sangha Dosha, it's not that one, there are different levels to it also. Even a Jnana Yogi can achieve it. If you read the characteristics of a Sthita Pragya, mentioned in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he has all these qualifications. So these Sukhaishwaryottara Mukti aspirants also, it's not that they are, you know, they are bereft of any spiritual vision. Just that they have a desire to, they are convinced that they are not these bodies. They are spirit souls and they understand that they cannot derive any pleasure out of matter. That's why they want to go to the spiritual world. And they are not averse to worshipping Krishna also. Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam is there. But just that it has not blossomed into prema. That's all. So these are not like when we read about the Virat Roop meditators, we saw that they are also quite qualified people. Otherwise, it's not possible for them to ultimately achieve liberation also. They are quite qualified, but just that it's not absolutely pure. So nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta karma, these are all there are different levels of understanding it. So vinivritta kama means having no material desires in one sense, or in another sense it might be to have only desire to serve Krishna. That's for a pure devotee. But there are different levels of it, and Jnana Yogi or an Ashtanga Yogi who are mixed practitioners, they can also have to some extent these qualifications, but may not be in the absolute sense, but at least in a relative sense they do have these qualifications. That's my understanding. Otherwise, why would Rupa Goswami write about these different kinds of people who stay in Vaikuntha? So anything that should be understood without having to negate any section of the scriptures. So the that's how I understand that.
So what I understood also one on that, by sadhana bhakti, following the rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti, one can go to Vaikuntha even he has not developed prema to the full extent. But to go to Golok Vrindavan, one has to develop that prema, as you said, that the pure devotion is completely required to go to Golok Vrindavan. I think the statement comes also in NOD, where just by practicing the rules of sadhana bhakti, the person has not even gone to the stage of higher stages, one can go to Vaikuntha. So that's how we can understand.
Yeah, that is possible. But generally it doesn't happen. Generally when one perfects and establishes a relationship, then he goes. Because if he is in the process of establishing a relationship, then he needs to be, at least one needs to know with which form of the Lord he wants to establish that relationship. Because, as Brahmaji says, yadyadhyaya taurugaya vibhavayanti tattadvapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. So in some form or other, he has a fixed relationship that he wants to establish. So once he knows, and even if that relationship may be in a bud form, which means at the stage of bhava, he might go and then further develop it later. But generally it is mentioned, if you read NOD, that when it blossoms, like in the case of Narada Muni also, when he was ready, then at that moment, when all the impurities were gone after the stage of bhava, then he gave up his present body, then received his spiritual body and went back to Vaikuntha. That's how it's described. So generally the description given is that when one reaches the stage of prema, then one goes back to Godhead, when one is practicing sadhana bhakti. And when he reaches there, he experiences the highest bliss that Vaikuntha has to offer. Another mixed practitioner may reach there before him, but having reached there, he will not experience the highest bliss. He will be knowledge, but he might still, like the person going to IIT canteen also knows that this is not the best that IIT has to offer, but he may not have the determination to sit and apply himself to study and get into IIT. Yeah, he may not envy others. He may take inspiration. Yeah. So these Sukha Aishwarya, Aishwaryottara Mukti people are also not ordinary people. We want to see everything black and white, but it's not like that. So there are many shades of grey. Okay. But it's not like either you have it or you don't. It's not like that. We may want to see it that way, but in our day-to-day life, it's never like that. We all know that. It's like you have material desires or you don't. It's not like that. It's gradually going away. See, basic minimum is at least one should perform Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam. That's what in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says. Favorable attitude that should mature in the form of service to Krishna. That's my understanding. That's good enough to go there. But the point is, a devotee is satisfied only by establishing a relationship with Krishna. That's much more superior than to just visit there and stay there without even having to meet Krishna there. Like that. Okay. I have not read the Brihad Bhagavatam. I have heard these stories, but personally I have not read, so I cannot comment exactly. So, how it is described there. Here and there, little bit story I have heard of Gop Kumar, but then I don't know the details of the story. Yeah, I understand. As I said, you know, I can only speculate because I have not read it. Okay, so I think we should move ahead. Okay, so yeah, last verse. Yadana yoga pachita sucheto
maya susiddhasya visajjatenga ananya heto shvatame gatisyad atyantiki yatrana mrityuhasaha.
So Kapiladev concludes this section by mentioning, my dear mother, yada siddhasya chetaha, when the yogi's heart, before going to liberation, before achieving liberation, the yogi has to be careful, because he might get attracted to the siddhis, yoga siddhis. So if he does not get attracted, then atame atyantiki gatisyad, then he can attain final liberation. Yatra na mrityuhasaha, where death cannot have the last laugh, where death cannot lure him back, he will not take birth again. So that's what he is telling, that he should be careful about not getting attached to the yoga siddhis, because which will naturally come because of his practice, like that. So that's where Kapiladev ends this section on Jnana Yoga. So we will start the next chapter, where Kapiladev is going to speak on Ashtanga Yoga. So the 28th chapter of 3rd canto is titled, Prabhupada titles it as Kapila's instructions on the execution of devotional service, because there will be a description of the stage of dhyana of on the form of the Lord by the Ashtanga Yogi, and Prabhupada in all his purports speaks about how similarly a devotee can also develop a relationship with the deity form of the Lord. That's how he describes. So he mentions, he titles this chapter as Kapila's instructions on the execution of devotional service. Of course, in his purports he talks about the path of Ashtanga Yoga. He mentions that this section talks about Ashtanga Yoga also, he mentions. But nevertheless, he titles the chapter as Kapila's instructions on execution of devotional service. And Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur titles this chapter as Kapila describes Ashtanga Yoga. So this is in response to Mother Devahuti's question. Yo Yogo Bhagavad Bhano Nirvanatman Stvayoditaha. What is that path of yoga that you mentioned about, which is aimed at the lotus feet of the Lord for the purpose of achieving liberation? So in response to that, now Kapiladev is going to speak about this path of liberation and how the path of Ashtanga Yoga, and how by such a practice the yogi achieves liberation. That's what he is going to discuss now. So Kapiladev continues. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Yogasya Lakshanam Vakshe Sabijasya Nripatmaje Mano Yeneva Vidina Prasannam Yati Satpatam. Yogasya Lakshanam Vakshe. Now let me describe to you about the characteristics of the path of yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. What kind of Ashtanga Yoga? Sabijasya. Sabijasya means that Ashtanga Yoga which depends on bhakti. Then one might ask, then it means that there must be some Ashtanga Yoga which is not dependent on bhakti. The point is no. But probably what was prevalent at that time was a concocted version of what Kapiladeva was giving, because he says that because it has been lost, something similar to Sakale Neha Mahata Yoga Nashta Parantapa. I am not giving you something new, but because it has been lost over a period of time, I am giving it to you again. Okay. So, probably what was available in the name of Ashtanga Yoga was not Sabijasya, was not dependent on bhakti. Okay, therefore here he is mentioning, now let me speak about the real path of Ashtanga Yoga, that which is dependent on bhakti. Yenaiva vidina, by following this vidhi, manaha yati prasannam satpatam, the mind attains the joyful spiritual path. Okay, if you remember, he initially mentioned that it chetah kalu asya bandaya muktaye chatmano matam. Guneshu saktam bandaya ratam va pumsi muktaye. It all depends on controlling the mind. And then while starting Jnana Yoga, the section on Jnana Yoga, he also mentioned that, oh, this mind can be controlled through this path of Jnana Yoga also. Now he says that, now I'll offer you the path of Ashtanga Yoga, which is dependent on bhakti, by following which the mind becomes joyfully situated in the spiritual path. It becomes joyful because of the element of bhakti. Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur, introducing this chapter, he says, in the 28th chapter, meditation in the Ashtanga Yoga system is described in detail, by which the yogi attains liberation without effort. Teaching devotion to himself in chapter 25 and speaking about Sankhya mixed with Bhakti in chapters 26 and 27, the Lord now begins to speak about Ashtanga Yoga mixed with Bhakti. So that is the subject matter of this chapter. Prabhupada, writing in the purport, he mentions, the yoga process explained by Lord Kapiladev in this chapter is authorized and standard. And therefore, these instructions should be followed very carefully. To begin, the Lord says that by yoga practice, one can make progress towards understanding the absolute truth. Later, Prabhupada writes, it is stated here that by following the system of yoga, one can become joyful. Lord Kapila, who is the highest authority on yoga, here explains the yoga system known as Ashtanga Yoga. So Prabhupada clearly mentions in the first purport only. So Lord Kapila, the personality of Godhead, who is the highest authority on yoga, here explains the yoga system known as Ashtanga Yoga, which comprises 8 different practices, namely Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. By all these stages of practice, one must realize Vishnu, who is the target of all yoga. Okay, so that makes it clear. Then, now he will start describing the limbs of yoga. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. The 8 limbs he will slowly describe. And then he will explain how by practicing these limbs, an Ashtanga Yogi achieves liberation. That will be the rest of the chapter. So he says, Swadharmacharanam shaktya vidharmacha nivartanam daivad labdena santosha atma vicharanarchanam. In the first few verses he speaks about yama and niyama, do's and don'ts, rules and regulations. He says, swadharma acharanam shaktya. Again the same principle is repeating here that we saw in the Jnana Yoga. Swadharma acharanam shaktya. He should perform his prescribed duties, at least in the beginning stages. Vidharmacha nivartanam, and he should avoid sin. Daivad labdena santosha. Same thing appeared there also. He must be satisfied with whatever comes of on its own accord. Atmavit charanarchanam. And he must worship the lotus feet of those who know the Lord. Okay. So not only should he worship the Supreme Lord, but he must worship devotees also. That's a part of Yama and Niyama of Ashtanga Yoga. Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, Swadharma Acharanam means that one must discharge a prescribed duties of his particular division of society faithfully and to the best of his ability. One should not accept another's duty. If one is born in a particular society or community, he should perform the prescribed duties for that particular division. So, when one is born in a particular family or society, so what kind of dharma is Prabhupada talking about? Varnashram dharma. So Prabhupada says, Varnashram does not depend on birth. Right? When he says that, it means it does not just depend on birth. Because to say that it absolutely does not depend on birth is to outright reject the law of karma. According to law of karma, the one's birth is decided by one's previous activities. To say that, oh, Varna is not dependent on birth, is to say that law of karma doesn't work. One randomly takes birth in any family. It's not like that. So, when Prabhupada says that one's Varnashram does not depend on birth, it means that having taken birth, you do not automatically accept that Varna. You must, you know, very faithfully perform the needed samskaras and practices and training. Everything is needed in this lifetime also. That's what it means. It does not mean that birth has absolutely no role. Same way, a practitioner of a transcendental path like Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, they also take birth. Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Bijayate. So therefore, no one's birth is random. It is very much dependent on the choices that a person has taken in his previous lives. That's what Krishna also says. Mashucha Sampadam Daivim Abhijatosi Pandava. Don't worry, you are born with divine qualities. So which means born with means how? Because he practiced and earned it in his previous life, that's why he is born with it. That is the meaning. That is true, but the general concept of based on however you have utilized your free will, accordingly you will take birth. That general concept at least is there. Pure varnas may not exist. Agreed. But at least something, some semblance of that is existing. So based on however a person has utilized his free will in his previous life, he will appropriately get a facility to continue it. Still there are people in India with fairly okay pious lifestyle, and there are people staying in United States and other parts of the world, live in relationships, children are born out of wedlock also. So even though one may say that pure Varnashram is not existing, it's true, but then still there is big difference like that. Okay, let's continue. So few of the Yamas and Niyamas we have seen. At least in the initial stages, practicing ones, Swadharma, and avoiding a sinful life, and practicing to be satisfied with whatever its own accord, and worship of devotees, having a very respectful disposition towards the devotees. Then gramya dharma nivrittischa moksha dharma ratistata mitamedyadanam shashvat vivikta kshema sevanam. Gramya dharma nivrittischa, one should avoid duties that lead to material attachment, which means by trying to avoid material activities or activities which lead to material attachments, which means kamya karma or karmakandiya practices. Moksha dharma ratistata, and be absorbed in those which lead to liberation, which means one must have a fairly detached disposition towards dharma, artha and kama. Of course, dharma he should be attached to, but not for the purpose of artha and kama. Dharmasya hi apavargasya nartho arthaya upakalpate. Mita medya adanam, one should eat pure food in moderated quantities. Shashvat vivikta kshema sevanam, and always live in a secluded, peaceful place. These are the yamas and niyamas of Ashtanga Yoga. Prabhupada writes here in the purport, it is recommended herein that religious practice for economic development or the satisfaction of sense desires should be avoided. Religious practices should be executed only to gain freedom from the clutches of material nature. It is stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam that the topmost religious practice is that by which one can attain the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. Svai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshache. Without reason or cause, ahaituki apratihata. Such religious practice is never hampered by any impediments, apratihata. And by its performance, one actually becomes satisfied. Eyatma suprasidati. Here, this is recommended as moksha dharma. This is real moksha dharma, Prabhupada says. Real moksha dharma is to practice pure devotional service. And of course, here, mita medya adanam, Prabhupada commenting on this, says that one should eat half of what one can actually consume and leave one fourth for air and one fourth must take water, like that. Then Kapiladev continues, ahimsa satyam asteyam yavadartha parigraha brahmacharyam tapashaucham swadhyaya purusharchanam. Ahimsa, one should practice non-violence. Satyam, truthfulness. Asteyam, asteyam, avoiding theft. Prabhupada quotes Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjita magridha kasya siddhanam. So, accepting what is allotted for him, one should not hanker for someone else's portion. That is asteyam. Yavadartha parigraha, one should accept only what is necessary. Brahmacharyam, one must practice celibacy. Tapaha, austerity, and shaucham, cleanliness. Swadhyaya, one should study the Vedas. Of course, swadhyaya means swa-adhyaya. One must not only study but try to apply it for oneself. And purusha archanam, worship of Supreme Lord, is also a very important limb of Ashtanga Yoga, which appears in the Yama-Niyama section. So these are the preliminary needs for one to start Ashtanga Yoga. So Prabhupada writes here in the purport, therefore, in yoga practice, one not only must concentrate his mind on the person of Krishna, but must also worship the form or deity of Krishna daily. Purusha Archanam, Prabhupada translates as deity worship. About Brahmacharya, Prabhupada says, one cannot enjoy unrestricted sex life and practice yoga. That's what is recommended in today's day and age. Prabhupada says this is rascaldom. So-called yogis advertise that one can go on enjoying as one likes and simultaneously become a yogi, but this is totally unauthorized. So we can always point out unauthorized practices to people. We don't have to compromise by telling, oh, that is also right. But we can at least say that this is the authorized process of Ashtanga Yoga, at least if you want to practice. The word asteyam is also very important for a yogi. Asteyam means to refrain from theft. In the broader sense, everyone who accumulates more than he needs is a thief. According to spiritual communism, one cannot possess more than he needs for his personal maintenance. Like that. Swadhyaya. Commenting on it, Prabhupada says, Swadhyaya means reading authorized Vedic scriptures. Even if one is not Krishna conscious and is practicing the yoga system, he must read standard Vedic literatures in order to understand. Prabhupada says, you may not be in the Krishna consciousness movement, you may want to practice Ashtanga Yoga, but that's okay, no problem. But at least read the standard Vedic texts for Ashtanga Yoga. Don't read anything. Performance of yoga alone is not sufficient. Narottam Das Thakur, a great devotee and acharya in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, says that all spiritual activities should be understood from three sources, namely saintly persons, standard scriptures, and the spiritual master, Guru Sadhu Shastra. Like that. So, yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, like this, I was thinking about that the first element in the Yama and Niyama which is being talked about is Swadharmacharanam Shaktya. Like yesterday also you were discussing in Gyan Yoga. But when we, Patanjali's or this, when we talk about Yama and Niyama, we actually never used to think about that this is also an element, like a practicing of one's occupational duties. Rather, Yama and Niyama was more from the external physical body point of view, rather than engaging one's, here is saying, Swadharma into the service of the Lord. So it seems like there has been a, just like we talk about in the Bhakti Yoga process also, there is a Guru Shishya Sampradaya and there, it has to be handed over carefully. So I was also reflecting, like Arjuna is also getting confused in the Bhagavad Gita. His question is also very much like this itself. When he talks about Ashtanga Yoga practice, he is actually trying to give up his own Swadharma, which is where Krishna keeps bringing him back again and again.
Yeah.
So is it not that there has to be a Guru Shishya Parampara kind of a thing for even this Bhakti Mishra Gyan and
For any Vedic process, there is Guru Shishya Parampara. One cannot receive any of this knowledge just by reading books. Yeah.
So when we talk about this Yama and Niyama, I think what is that? Some Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, we generally say. So there, does it not talk about Swadharma being engaged?
I have never read Patanjali Yoga Sutra. So
because that the technical Yama and Niyama, whatever I have heard of, was from Patanjali Yoga Sutra. Like, even I have not read, but then I heard that.
I am not very sure, but I know what Kapil Dev says. But Patanjali Yoga Sutra I have not personally read, so I cannot comment on it. Okay. So then, after Yama and Niyama is... Yeah.
Prabhuji, as you said, there's a Guru Shishya Parampara in even Ashtanga Yogi. So they are also Vaishnava category, Ashtanga Yogi Vaishnavas.
Yeah, they are mixed devotees.
But when we talk in Padma Puran about Parampara, there are only four Vaishnava Paramparas that are mentioned.
Yeah.
So in none of these four Paramparas, this Ashtanga Yogi method is prescribed.
My guess is probably, you know, within the four Vaishnava Paramparas, there must be a provision for engaging people who are not not yet qualified for pure devotional service, which means they have mixed aspirations. So it must also be within the parampara only. That's my guess. I am not 100% sure of it, but That's what I would think. Okay, so after Yama and Niyama, we are into Asana. Okay, so he's talking about Asana now, though he starts with one last Yama Niyama, rules and regulations, Maunam. But rest of the verse is about Asana. Asana, Pranayama and Pratyahara. So he says, Maunam Sadasana Jaya Stairyam Pranajaya Shanaihi Pratyaharas Chendriyanam Vishayan Manasahridi. Maunam, one should observe silence. Stairyam. Stairyam means steadiness. The purpose of asana is to have some steadiness, physical steadiness. Because if the physically, if one is not steady, then mind cannot be steadied. So one should steady one's posture by sad asana jaya, by performing proper asanas, or by perfecting proper asana, sad asana jaya, prana jaya. Then one can control the prana. So when the prana is controlled, shanaihi, gradually, pratyaharascha indriyanam, then gradually one can remove the senses, vishayan, from the sense objects. So after removing the senses from the sense objects, then they can be diverted to the heart, through the mind, manasa. So asana is for physical steadiness or dexterity, through which one can develop a favorable situation for controlling the breath, which is accomplished by practice of pranayama. Then subsequently, when the prana is controlled, then the mind is also controlled, because prana controls the mind. So like that. So this talks about asana, pranayama and pratyahara. Next, swadishnyanam ekadeshe manasa pranadharanam vaikuntalila vidyanam samadhanam tatatmanah. Prana dharanam, one should fix the prana ekadeshe, at one spot. Swadishnyanam, amongst the various chakras, six chakras. Manasa, by the mind. This is described as one of the explanations of dharana. To fix the mind at different spots, different chakras in the body. And then he says, Vaikunta Leela Abhidhyanam. What is the dhyana that an Ashtanga Yogi does? He meditates on the pastimes in the spiritual world. Okay. He must also meditate on the pastimes in the spiritual world. This is one dhyana. Because to one gets more absorption in something that is animated or moving. Movies are more absorbing than photographs, right? So a yogi also develops much more absorption or perfection in the process of dhyana when he meditates on the pastimes of the Lord than to just meditate on the form of the Lord. So true Ashtanga Yogi, as per Kapiladev's description, does Vaikunta Leela Abhidhyanam. He meditates on the pastimes in the spiritual world. Samadhanam Tata Atmanah. Subsequently, he attains Samadhi. So in brief, he says, he starts from Yama Niyama and goes till Samadhi. Of course, he is going to elaborate on these limbs. Prabhupada commenting on this dharana, he says, there are six circles of vital air circulation within the body, the six chakras. The first circle is within the belly, the second circle is in the area of the heart, the third is in the area of the lungs, the fourth is on the palate, fifth is between the eyebrows, and the highest, the sixth circle, is above the brain. Various chakras, Anahata chakra, Swadhisthana chakra, Manipuraka chakra, and so on. One has to fix his mind on the circulation of the vital air and thus think of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Vaikuntha Leela Abhidhyanam. It is never mentioned that one should concentrate on the impersonal or void. It is clearly stated Vaikuntha Leela. Leela means pastimes. Unless the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, has transcendental activities, where is the scope of thinking of these pastimes? Like that. And lastly, Prabhupada concludes, Samadhi is not an artificial bodily state. It is a state achieved when the mind is virtually absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is Samadhi. Then, now, he says, Etair anyaischa patibir mano dushtam asatpatam buddhya yunjita shanakair jita prano hyatandritaha. Etair anyaischa patibir. There are also some other means, buddhya, with the intelligence, jita prana, having controlled the pranas, atandritaha with attention, shanakaihi yunjita manajushtam asatpatam. So he says that along with this pranayama and the yama niyama, one can also resort to some other additional support. One can take additional support from here. Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur says other processes are charity and vows. If there is some contamination in the mind, in order to steady the or remove that contamination, one can resort to yama niyama pranayama and also take additional support from the practices like charity, vows, etc., to achieve the steadiness of mind. So he's giving some alternative options also. How do they do? That's exactly what they are taught. You know, they practice yama, niyama, asana properly, and then they are taught how to, a very, very basic preliminary understanding is through anulom, vilom, the movement of the pranavayu is sort of regulated. So that's a very preliminary understanding. There must be much more details to it. How they fix it, that's their whole sadhana.
Bhakti is superior and heart of bhakti is chanting. So if you take that example, we are like trying to concentrate on sound of radio. Right?
Yeah.
So
we are not just chanting, isn't it? We are also, the impetus to chant comes from hearing only. That's why before we actually start the morning chanting, we read from either Radhishyam Prabhu or Krishnanand Prabhu, they speak about the glories of holy name. Or we read from the books that glorify the holy name. So when we hear about the glories, then we get inspired to chant. So therefore, it is true that in one sense, the name reveals the Rupa, Guna and Leela. But once I have heard His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu speak about it, he said that, yes, it may be a little mystical, but actually it works the other way round. First we hear about the pastimes, Leela. When we hear about the pastimes, then the pastimes bring about the wonderful qualities of that personality. So when we hear about those qualities, then naturally we would like to see who that person is. Okay. And then we want to chant his name because we have developed an affection for that person. Okay. So therefore it is primarily hearing first. Only by hearing can one develop the sufficient faith in chanting. Otherwise, one cannot just like that chant. Why would anyone chant? So, therefore, it first starts with hearing. And then, when the faith in hearing develops, then with that, endowed with that faith, one can chant. That's my understanding. So then, it is mentioned here, Prabhupada also commenting on this, etair anyaischa. Prabhupada says, the general yoga process entails observing the rules and regulations, practicing the different sitting postures, concentrating the mind on the vital circulation of the air, and then thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his Vaikuntha pastimes. This is the general process of yoga. This same concentration can be achieved by other recommended processes, and therefore anyaischa, other methods also can be applied. The essential point is that the mind which is contaminated by material attraction has to be bridled. Bridled means controlled. Must be bridled and concentrated on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So basically, what Kapiladeva wants to say is that apart from this, you can take help of some other processes also to control the mind, to develop the initial control over the mind. One can take additional help also from other processes like charities and vows, like that. So that's, then he little bit more elaborates on the asana. He says, Shutau jeshe pratishtapya vijita asana asanam tasmin swasti samasina rujukaya samabhyaset. Vijita asana, mastering the asanas, Shuchau deshe pratishtapya, he should establish his seat in a clean place. Similar to what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also. Shuchau deshe pratishtapya stiram asanam atmana, nati ucharitam, nati nicham, chailajena kushottaram. Mastering the asanas, he should establish his seat in a clean place and sitting in swastikasan. Rujukayaha, keeping his body straight, samabhyaset, he should start practicing controlling his breath. Then, pranasya shodayen margam pura kumbakare chakaihi pratikulena vachittam yatastiram achanchalam. One should purify the passage for prana by Puraka, Kumbhaka and Rechaka. Puraka means to inhale, Rechaka means to exhale, and Kumbhaka means to hold the breath. The details of pranayam is described here. And, right? Inhale, hold, and it could be and only probably. Or so that the unsteady mind becomes steady. So the purpose of pranayam, however it may be done, I don't know the details, but the purpose of pranayam is to steady the mind so that it can meditate. Dharana, dhyana, samadhi is possible only when the mind is steady. So, that's what is described here. Prabhupada gives little more details here. These breathing exercises are performed to control the mind and fix it on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The process of Krishna consciousness is to chant Hare Krishna and hear the sound attentively so that the mind is fixed upon the transcendental vibration of Krishna's name, which is non-different from Krishna, the personality. That's our way of controlling the mind. The real purpose of controlling the mind by the prescribed method of clearing the passage of air is achieved immediately if one fixes his mind directly on the lotus feet of Krishna. Okay? Which means, of course, we may say that, yeah, doesn't this seems like a much more easier way to do? It's easy for one who has faith in devotional service, but for others who do not have faith in pure devotional service, for them, they feel that, you know, pranayam really works. I mean, for how long I can keep looking at the lotus feet of the Lord? They may think like that. They are not averse to taking darshan of the lotus feet, but they may not think that it's a reasonable way to develop control over the mind. The Hatha Yoga system or breathing system is especially recommended for those who are very absorbed in the concept of bodily existence. But one who can perform the simple process of chanting Hare Krishna can fix the mind more easily. Like that. Later, Prabhupada concludes the purport by mentioning, practicing the yoga system of exercise and breath control is very difficult for a person in this age. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya recommended, Kirtaniya Sadahari. One should always chant the holy name of the Supreme Lord Krishna, because Krishna is the most suitable name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The name Krishna and the Supreme Person Krishna are non-different. Therefore, if one concentrates his mind on hearing and chanting Hare Krishna, the result is same.
Concentrating on chanting is easy. Yeah. But where it is easy, if you see, first thing happens in chanting is falling asleep till the person reaches nishta, which is very high stage.
See, that's why I'm mentioning, if one has heard about the glories of chanting sufficiently, repeatedly over a period of time, then it becomes easy. Like for example, for someone who is in the stock market, I have observed people, I mean, they don't blink their eyes also, sitting. But for me, you know, I was thinking, you know, even half a minute was yugaitam nimeshena. It was like impossible for me to sit and, you know, watch what they were watching, because I have not sufficiently heard about the glories that one move here and there you can make millions. You know, if I have sufficiently heard, maybe I would also, you know, with unblinking eyes, you know, I might also be absorbed. But for one who has not sufficiently heard and is not sufficiently convinced that it can give results, then it's but possible that one might fall asleep and get distracted. So the point is, that's why Shravanam comes before Kirtanam. Shravanam, then Kirtanam, then it leads to Smaranam. So therefore, because if Shravanam is not properly done, then one will not have sufficient Shraddha for Kirtanam. So therefore, Shravanam is in that sense the most important limb, because it gives the essential fuel for practicing all the other limbs. Kirtanam, Archanam, etc. So therefore, Shravanam is very important. Therefore, before chanting the holy names, you know, we hear about the glories of holy names. And we are expected to contemplate, meditate, think about it. Then we will not fall asleep, we will take it seriously.
Prabhuji, like this question always comes, as Prabhu is asking about devotional service being easy process, chanting of Hare Krishna can fix the mind more easily, etc. So I have been thinking about this earlier also. I want to just check and ask you, Guru. Like when I read this kind of statements where Prabhupada says that it is more easy than Gyan Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, etc., it seems like, because the way Prabhupada always speaks about this, it seems like he is saying that it is more natural. Rather than to say it is more easy, it is more natural, because it's more natural for us to build a relationship with person. It's more, the bhakti yoga process is quite natural, whereas Gyan Yoga, where the renunciation is stressed, virakti is stressed so much, Ashtanga Yoga, where these complex asanas, etc., one has to perform, where perfection is necessary in this way. So bhakti is more natural, but that does not mean that it is necessarily very easy for everybody. Specifically, yeah, yeah. When we have anarthas in our heart, this the tendency of this enjoying mentality is what actually causes us sleep during japa, because we don't want to put effort in chanting Hare Krishna. We don't want to surrender to the process of what is given to us.
Yeah.
So is it not that it is more natural rather than to say it is more easy? Though the word easy can be used, because what is natural should be easy for those who are like in healthy state, as Prabhupada also says.
Yeah.
But those who are unhealthy, for them it will become difficult.
Yeah. So ultimately it boils down to like this morning also I was mentioning, it all boils down to the impressions that one has gained. So if whatever those impressions are reinforcing, that's where our Shraddha would be. So if our impressions are more devotional, if you have accumulated lot of devotional impressions, then it would reinforce our faith in bhakti. But if you have accumulated lot of impressions, other impressions, it might reinforce our faith in some other process like Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga. So ultimately it faith is all connected to the impressions that one has accumulated. So that's why Krishna says that there are people, different people with different nishtas, and accordingly the paths are given. All of them have to be purified and, you know, brought back like that. Therefore for some bhakti is recommended, for some Ashtanga Yoga is recommended like that.
So this like the word, when we say, so is it not correct that we say it is more natural process rather than to say, like the question Prabhu was asking, that where it is easy to chant Hare Krishna, if people fall sleepy.
Yeah, it is more natural, right? It's the soul's constitutional activity. Yeah, that's how Prabhupada explains.
So to replace, like to say that because it should be easy, that means when I chant Hare Krishna, my mind should not get distracted. Is it not like very wrong supposition which we are putting? Efforts are necessary in even the natural process, because for us, we are in an unhealthy state of conditioning.
Yeah, correct. Agreed.
Because many times, taking it to be a kind of a license that it should be easy, so I don't need to put any effort. That kind of thought process goes.
Yeah, in an unhealthy state, you have to actually put effort, just as Syat Krishna Nama Charita Adisitapya Vidya Pitto Patapta Rasanasya Narochikanu Kintu Adarad Anudinam Kalu Saiva Jushta Swadvi Kramad Bhavati. Gradually it becomes more tasteful. So we have to earn it, like we discussed the other day also. Ruchi has to be earned, taste has to be earned, and the way of earning taste is by regulated performance of that activity, even though we may not have taste. Then taste is rewarded. We'll move ahead. It's already time. So then, this is mind control through pranayam. Then, further he says, Mano chirat syad virajam jitashvasasya yoginah vayvagnibhyam yataloham dhmatham dhmatam tyajati vaimalam. Very soon the mind of the yogi who controls his breath will become pure. Relatively. So, I think we discussed it before. Many times the words are used in a relative sense also. Not always, they are used in an absolute sense. So here when it says that the mind of the yogi who controls his breath becomes pure, it's definitely used in a relative sense, as in anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti does not mean after anartha nivritti stage, at the stage of nishta, there is absolutely no anarthas. That's not what it means. Yata dhmatam loham malam tyajati. Just as heated gold gives up impurities, vayu agnibhyam, by air and fire. So, how gold is purified is that gold generally has a high melting point. So, when you heat it, the impurities generally have much lower melting point, or sometimes their boiling point may be higher than the melting point of gold. So, they vaporize, or sometimes they get collected. So there is a process called zone refining of gold. Huh? I don't know if they still follow it. They used to follow it before. Huh? So he says that So he says that very soon the mind of the yogi who controls his breath will become pure, just as heated gold gives up impurities by air and fire. So here air and fire is compared to the process of pranayama. And the impurities are the impurities in gold, like that. And gold is the practitioner. So Srila Prabhupada writes, one can purify the mind either by the breathing process or by the chanting process. Again and again, Prabhupada brings back. Because as we discussed yesterday, you know, Kali Yuga audience are very unreliable. For how long their attention span, for how long they can give their attention span, we never know. So if Prabhupada doesn't lose even one opportunity. So he says, one can purify the mind either by the breathing process or by the chanting process, just as one can purify gold by putting it in a fire and fanning it with a bellows.